of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church. We ask your continued blessings be with us as we lift and share our tithes and offerings for the mission and ministry of your church. Bless us to listen and respond to the preached word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage. It comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, the first four verses that you have on the back of your worship bulletin are in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to also read verses 15 through 17. Listen to these words recorded by Luke, the physician. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with the other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 15. Peter said, "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. The old men shall dream dreams." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, The Work of the Holy Spirit. The Work of the Holy Spirit. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. The Work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. How many of you, by way of raising your hands, ever been on a farm? All right. We got a good crowd here. All right. Very good. Perhaps you heard the story about what happened one day on the farm. It was a mouse who looked into the wall of the house of the farmer and his wife. And he noticed that they were getting ready to open a huge package. And he was wondering what type of food that package contained. And lo and behold, as he watched them open that gift that they received in that package, he was devastated. Why? Because they opened and were looking at a beautiful mousetrap. And so, not to be outdone, he wanted to share it with all of the other animals on the farm. And so he went around and he found the chicken. And he said to the chicken, "There's a mousetrap in the house. There's a mousetrap in the house." That chicken looked at him. And that chicken said, "I know it's a grave concern for you, but I'm not concerned about that mousetrap. I don't want to be bothered with it. That's your business." Well, not to be outdone, he decided he would go tell the cow, "There's a mousetrap in the house. There's a mousetrap in the house." The cow looked at him and the cow said, "Moo." The cow said, "I can only pray for you. I sympathize with you and I'll be praying for you. That's all I can do." Well, not to be outdone, he decided that he would go and share with the pig. And he shared with the pig, "There's a mousetrap in the house. There's a mousetrap in the house." That pig looked at him. That pig said to him, "That's no skin off my nose. I have nothing to do with that. That's not my business." Well, that mouse was heading back to the house. Nightfall had set in. It was dark. But all of a sudden on the farm, they heard coming from the house, they heard a snap. Lo and behold, the farmer's wife heard the sound, same noise. She jumped out of bed, The house was extremely dark. But she wanted to see, what did the mouse trap hold and caught as its prey? She went to the kitchen. She heard and seen something wiggling. And lo and behold, she didn't know it, but it was a snake's tail. That snake was still alive. That snake bit the farmer's wife. Venom all came all through her body. That farmer got up, took his wife to the hospital. The hospital told him exactly what to do to help bring the fever down. And you know the best thing for a fever, to bring a fever down, is what? Chicken soup. That farmer went out, he killed that chicken, and his wife had chicken soup. Well, the farmer had to go to work. He had to work the fields as a good farmer. Neighbors came from far and around the farm. They set in while the farmer would go out day in and day out and take care of the fields. Farmer decided, because he had good neighbors, he needed to provide some type of food for his neighbors. So he went out and he killed that cow and provided food for his neighbors. Later on, his wife died. His wife died. Family members and friends heard about her death. They came from around and out of state and from around the farm to celebrate her life. The farmer knew there was only one thing he needed to do, because people were coming from miles and miles to be with his family. He found that pig and he slaughtered that pig. And they were all having that feast in the farmer's house. And lo and behold, that mouse walked up, looked in that crack. And that mouse walked away and he said, "I tried to warn him." Yeah. Well, I'm coming here to warn you this morning that the Holy Spirit is in this place. And we need to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to have more and more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Don't ignore it. Don't say, "That's no skin off my nose." Don't say, "I don't want to be bothered with it." But open your hearts and minds and spirit that the Holy Spirit may come in and dwell. Without the coming of the Holy Spirit, there would be no Christianity, no church for that matter. But God's Holy Spirit wants to dwell into hearts and souls that are available and open to Him. The Holy Spirit is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening power, kindle a flame in these cold hearts of ours. Well, if you look at the book of Acts, you'll see in Acts chapter 1, Luke is writing to Theophilus, that noble one. And if you remember that the Gospel of Luke is a continuation, part of it is a continuation into the book of Acts. We know that because if you look at Luke chapter 1 and the third verse and Acts chapter 1 and the first verse, you'll see Luke is writing to the same person, to Theophilus. And he's sharing all of the wonderful things that God did through Jesus Christ. Then now he shares as it relates to Jesus getting ready to go back to glory. It is in the Acts of the Apostle, as well as the end of Luke and part of Mark, that we hear about Jesus ascending. He's ascending to the Father. But yet he left a promise. He told his disciples, his apostles, to go to what? Jerusalem and what? And to wait for power from on high, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it will empower you to go out and to witness to the end of the world. Well, if you look closely in chapter 2, you'll see indeed the Bible says, as it relates to Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were in one place on one accord at one time. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our world was on the same page, on one accord, with the same thing in mind? The coming of the Holy Spirit was reflected in Ezekiel chapter 37. You remember that? When Ezekiel was told to prophesy to those dead, dry bones, and the Spirit came and lived within. That was just a prelude of what was going to happen and take place in Acts chapter 2. And in Ezekiel, we had two sticks last Sunday that became one. They were on one accord, in one place, at one time. And the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, with fire and wind, and filled the whole place. The Spirit was dwelling within the believers. It was known as the day of Pentecost. What is Pentecost? I'm glad you asked. If you want to write down this definition, Pentecost means 50th. Refers to the Jewish feast held 50 days after the second day of Passover. Called the Feast of the Weeks or the Feast of the Harvest. Now, if you have your Bibles, look at Leviticus, the 23rd chapter and the 6th verse. In Leviticus, the 23rd chapter and the 6th verse, it talks about the Feast of the Weeks. It talks about that Hebrew word, shows. It was a time of celebration when God's people would come together and have a feast and sacrifice a lamb. That lamb was offered as a sacrificial offering to God. That lamb also was a symbol that God's people was willing to make a sacrifice, and they would put the blood over their doorposts. Why? That the death angel may pass them over. Well, now turn to Acts chapter 2 and you'll see. Here, out of this celebration, out of this festival celebration, God created what we know today as Pentecost, for the birth of the church. Furthermore, let me add this with you as it relates to the next point. The gift of Pentecost bears the first fruit in the church, the first public testimony about salvation through Christ crucified. It is the first testimony, the first public expression that our God is alive. He moves now through the coming of the Holy Spirit that is embodied into the lives of God's people. And the church would go forth and go out and be his witnesses. It is so important for us to remember why the Holy Spirit came. It was known as the Paraclete, that he came to walk beside us, to be with us, to guide us. It is the third person of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that Paraclete. He comes as a helper, as an assistant to God. He never gets above God. He never gets above Jesus. He stays in his lane. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit. It is part of the triune God. It reminds us that there is three in one. One kingdom and one Godhead. The coming of the Holy Spirit fulfilled the promise of God. In fact, let me give you these three biblical insights as it relates to the work of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit comes as a comforter. It comes to comfort. We celebrated the life and legacy of Dr. John Knight on yesterday. We remind ourselves of how God blessed us by allowing him to come into our lives and the lives of his family members and friends. But it's a sense of comfort now. We rely upon the comfort of God in the midst of grief and despair. God's Holy Spirit is a comforter. Amen. Not only that, but God's Holy Spirit is a guide. He will continue to guide us in all things, in all decisions, in all matters. We can rely upon the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and the 5th verse, it says what? In all thy ways, acknowledge him And he shall what? Direct our paths. He shall guide our paths. He will continue to lead and guide us if we yield according to our own way and our own will. Well, lastly, he's a helper. The Holy Spirit comes as a helper. He comes as an advocate. He's an advocate to the Father. The Bible says we don't know what to pray for. Sometimes we get our words mixed up. Sometimes we get too long, or we're too short, or we're right in the middle. But guess what happens? The Bible says, even in the midst of our growing pains, the Holy Spirit interprets our desires to the Father. Isn't that good news? That's great news, that we have an advocate with the Father, one who is now interpreting our inward thoughts, our inward desires, and hopes and aspiration. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is willing to be with us any place we go around the globe. And God knows we need the presence of the Holy Spirit now. I shared with the previous services that if you ever travel outside of the United States, in every country they have, on behalf of the United States of America and for the United States of American citizens, what is known as a USA embassy. In Seoul, the embassy was present. It reminds us that if you're a citizen from the United States of America, here in a foreign country is a place, a building, that is considered a safe haven. Lindsay Sanchez, who is now getting ready to go to Africa, her mother asked her after the service, "Do you know where that embassy is?" It is a clear reminder that even though you can be outside the United States, if anything happens, you can get to the embassy, because the embassy is governed by American laws and American customs, even in a foreign country. It is a taste of the United States, a long way from home. Well, that's what the church should be. The church of God, as we continue to represent the body of Christ, we must be reminded that the church is a taste of heaven, a long way from home. Amen? Here you have me in the pulpit at First Methodist Church. Hong Dong is the name of the church. Hong Dong First Methodist Church. It was built April 5th, 1885. It continues to stand. It's next door to the United States Embassy. But the church welcomes all people to remind them that the body of Christ continues to make a difference in all of our lives. And the church should go forth today with the presence of the Holy Spirit. The hymnologist said it this way in hymn number 558. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. We should represent the church of Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit continue to comfort us, to guide us, and to help us along the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Won't you stand? Our communion helpers are invited to come at this time. All are welcome to partake in the Holy Eucharist experience as we stand.